Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. God bless and enjoy the message.
Well, we're going to read scripture and we're going to do it old school. How's that sound? You see, we were supposed to be outside. After I made the declaration, we're going to be outside weather permitting. And then God says, we're going to make it where you can't. So we did a quick turnaround and able to get the technology, but we're going to have to do old school today. So I'm going to ask those in the sanctuary to stand out of respect for God's word. You're going to have to read it out of your own scriptures or your own. We're in Matthew chapter 17. You can find that. Matthew 17, verses 14 to 21. You can find the notes and the scripture, I believe, on my KCC app. I will read the entirety. And I also want to note, as we read this passage, some translations do not have verse 21. That may freak you out, but it's not that difficult to understand. Is that happens a lot in New Testament. Depends on which original text they use to translate. So whichever English version you have may be using a different original Greek text, and sometimes you'll have a verse omitted depending on which text. This particular scripture passage exactly does that. The passage I'm reading from omits verse 21. I will give a McVeach paraphrase for the rest of you who have verse 21. We're in Matthew 17, starting at verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus said, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast that demon out? You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Verse 21, Mick paraphrase. Some of these things don't happen except through prayer and fasting. Let's pray. And I pray today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat, or if you're standing at home, you can do that also. We're in the middle of a series called The Battle Is On. Can somebody repeat after me? Say, the battle's on. We know it is. We see that. We acknowledge that. That's why this series is really important. We've defined to you that our battlefronts are obvious in prior sermons. It's the flesh inside us that battles us, the systems of the world, and the devil himself. Last week, Pastor Michael talked about the power that is in Jesus' name, the power that is in Jesus' name. And today we're going to continue on in this series about the battle and warfare prayer. And as I do, I want you to know that it's critical in this moment that you and I understand what our authority is. Many of you know the verse, Romans 8:31, that says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, we know that intellectually, but my prayer for all of us, whether we're online or we're in here, is that it would move from our intellectual understanding to our heart, that we would truly be able to live knowing that if God is for us, there can be absolutely nothing against us whatsoever. Now, if that is true, what we need to understand is that 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that the weapons that you and I fight with are not the weapons of this world. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. My question to you today is, what weapons have you been using to kind of stay afloat? What weapons have you been using to actually fight the fight that God has been telling you to fight? What does that look like for you? Has it been your personality? Has it been your skills? Has it been your resources? Has it been people around you? What are the weapons you've been using of this world? Paul tells us, if you want to know that God is for you and nothing can be against you, you need to understand what your weapons are. And he says in 2 Corinthians 10 that your weapons are not of this world. They are of divine nature. And they have this ability. Here's some good news. You ready? It will demolish anything that stands against God. Can somebody say amen? Anything that stands against God, it will come against. and then we can take captive every thought that comes our way. It's important that we begin using these weapons today. So what is it you're in a battle with? What are your emotions speaking and shouting at you to? That I know mine do. They shout at me all the time. What are yours? Is it worry? Is it fear? What is your battle? Is it stress? What about loneliness? Anger? Anybody dealing with bitterness today? The lack of forgiveness? I'm here to declare to you today that we must raise our standard called prayer. Yes, we talked about the power of Jesus' name, but we can know that the power of Jesus' name, but if we do not activate the power of Jesus' name via prayer, we will still walk around defeated lives. We live in a day and age where you and I need to rise up and begin to exercise the weapons that God has given us. And now is the time. Now, let me give you some tips. Because I hear people, when you start talking about prayer, they will say some of the excuses are this. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Number one, then pray with somebody who does know how to pray. When I was a young lad, and I was new to Jesus and wasn't raised in the church, I prayed with Grace Anderson. She was 76 years old in her farmhouse every Saturday night for 3 hours. That woman knew how to storm heaven. I learned to pray by praying with Miss Grace. Pray with somebody else and you learn how to pray. Second thing that I would say to you is pray out loud. I've heard people say this all the time. I don't feel comfortable praying out loud, or I don't feel comfortable praying with people. Now, here's what I want you to know. I am totally cool with you acknowledging that you struggle with that. I'm even totally cool with you saying that I struggle with prayer. What I'm not cool with is that you're okay staying there. It's okay to admit it, but staying there is a whole nother thing. What we need to do is that we need to not only pray with someone, I would encourage you is to pray out loud. Now, pray. You can start by praying out loud by yourself. And if it's a challenge for you, maybe you have a misunderstanding of what prayer is. Somehow, whatever your background is, whatever your context is, you thought prayer was a certain word or had to have a certain way to articulate. And really what you need to say or understand that prayer is me communicating my heart with God's. And if you have the ability and the capacity to communicate verbally with somebody else physically here, you have the ability to do it with God. The second thing that praying out loud does for you, if you're like my personality, is it keeps you focused. If I don't pray out loud, my mind's all over there. Rabbit, anybody else with me? And it keeps you focused on what really, really matters. So praying with somebody, praying out loud, and praying with a list. In other words, I'm convinced when we go into warfare prayer, we do too many generalities. Oh Lord, bless my grandkids. Oh Lord, bless the church. Oh Lord, bless America. And you got to be a little bit more specific, and you got to start writing those things out. I call it my Monday list, Tuesday list, Wednesday list, Thursday list, etc. And then when you pray those lists, you can see and watch God move. Be specific with the list of what you pray. And then you need to point a time in each day that is actually your prayer closet. In other words, if you don't appoint a time to pray, before you know it, you'll miss your opportunities to pray. So whatever that looks like in your life, those are things that I would say to us today. It is time. It is time, church, for us to rise up. I am so tired of watching the church get beat up. When Jesus told us, if he is for us, who can be against us? I am so tired of watching people not understand that he has given us weapons for battle to stand up. And we have not done that. My whole purpose of this series, called The Battle Is On, Spiritual Warfare, is to expose the enemy. Because you have, and let you understand your authority you have in Christ. It's not as much to focus in on Satan and the demons as it is to understand who you are in Christ and how you take your weapons and know his tactics. We are exposing him for who he is. The father of all lies, according to scripture. One who roams the earth like a lion looking for somebody to what? Devour. He's not taking any hostages. He's out for destruction. He has one goal. If we were as committed as the devil and his demons were, we would stand more victorious than we've ever been. Now we're in our situation, in our world, where what we're realizing is this, that we truly need to rise up and take our weapons and do what God wants us to do. Can I get an amen? Now, I have three principles today as we talk about warfare prayer. They are very simple, but I want to draw them out for us. The first is preparation. Would you repeat after me? Say, prepare me, Lord. Say it again, prepare me, Lord. Now, this passage of scripture that I just read for you in Matthew 17 was all about disciples who weren't prepared. They weren't ready. They'd seen some success. Now they came in contact with something a little bit over their heads. And this young lad was struggling with demonization. And it says there he was thrown into seizures and thrown into the fire. This is just must have been a horrible experience. And his father's like any other father, like, hey, I heard about you guys. Can you help me? And they weren't able to help. And then they called Jesus. And then Jesus is frustrated by the whole thing because many times when we hear these stories, we don't put ourselves in that story. Many of us are just like those disciples. And Jesus was upset with them. He's like, when are you guys going to get it? Wake up. I've given you everything you need. Now let me come back. Deal with the dad. Cast out the demon. And it says that boy was then well from that point forward, we read. So he first deals with the crisis. Allows that boy to be delivered. But then he deals with the disciples. And he's like, you've not been prepared. You don't even have the world view. You don't even think that there's a spiritual battle on. You don't even acknowledge that you're being attacked today. And as a result, you continue to lose this thing. And he says in verse 20, your problem is simply this. You don't have enough faith. You simply don't have enough faith. And he says you can have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you can say to this mountain, be moved, and you can move it wherever you want. So it's not about the size of faith, although we can build it. It's the fact, do we have faith? Now let me illustrate it this way. This is a 2-pound dumbbell, and my wife uses these things, and she walks with them, okay? Now, I better put it in my left hand. Even if we had a 2-pound dumbbell of faith, Jesus is saying that's better than nothing. And you can do mighty things even with a 2-pound amount of faith. And when you start exercising with 2 pounds, depending on what your starting point is, and I know no pipes whatsoever here, and so 2-pound looks really good for me. Now, the problem is when you do props, don't get a prop that's too heavy. That's what I did. So I should have probably gotten a lot lighter second prop. I carried this all the way from my office, and I was like, oh, Lord, this thing weighs 25 pounds with one arm, a little bit heavy. But here's the point of what Jesus is saying in chapter 17, verse 20. He said, you need to start building your faith. So you can start with the 2-pound. You got to start somewhere. And you can even change the world with this. But as you start doing this, little by little, you'll be able to start doing this. And you'll start building muscle. I can only do this several times, so just so you know. And so after you start doing this several times, you're going to be able to have faith like this. It starts here. We all want this kind of faith, but we don't want to do the necessary step-by-step to get there. And Jesus is saying, come on now. I'm not asking you to split the Red Sea. I'm not asking you to bring down Goliath. I'm asking you just to live the victorious life. And then when you go from there, you might be able to have other victories. It starts step-by-step, moment-by-moment. And I'm saying to the church today, let's prepare ourselves. And if we don't prepare ourselves, we won't have either of these. We will not have either of these, and we walk around as people simply not ready to see God do what he needs to do. Build our faith. If you want to run a marathon, I don't care how motivated you get. If you don't do training, I don't care. You can run that first maybe half mile because of all of the adrenaline and all the people. But when you get out there, you're going to stop as surely as you have air to breathe. You got to do the day by day, moment by moment. And it's the same in preparation to be victorious. Yes, if God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, he has given us battles of divine nature to demolish every stronghold of the enemy. But we must exercise our faith. And if we don't do that, we are simply people who simply don't get it. Now, having said that, you need to understand that if we don't have preparation, I can take you to Acts 19. These dudes were casting out demons all over the place, but they weren't doing it for the right reason. They didn't really even have faith in Jesus. They were just kind of living in that Eastern world where everybody had a spiritual worldview, and they were hearing about Jesus and trying to do their thing, and they come up against one individual demonized, and these 7 sons of Sceva, that demon is so powerful, or demons so powerful in that man, they beat the living tar out of him, and they all run away bloody. And before they beat him up, they said, Jesus, we know, Paul, we know, but who are you? I am wondering today, as we stand in the battle, I don't care where you are, I don't care who you are. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if we're living a victorious life and we're seeing the victory, you should want your name on that list. Not because you're super spiritual, not because you got somehow got it all together, but because you know what it means to stand your ground in Christ. You have prepared yourself knowing I can be a victor in Jesus Christ. And they fear because of who you are, not because of what you can do, but because of the one who's in you. Can I get an amen? Amen? So what does preparation look like? Good question. First is confession. We don't do confession well. What do I mean by confession? We need to first confess, I am of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, he is my high priest. I know whom I belong. My confession of my faith in Jesus. How long has it been since you have made a confession that I am a follower of Jesus Christ and I know whom to I belong? Then we confess our sin. Nehemiah in chapter 1 not only confessed his sin, he confessed the sin of entire nation. I confess who I belong to. I confess my sin before God. And then I confess my fear. And understand that in 2 Timothy 1, he did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power and of love. Make those confessions today. Make your declaration today and watch your faith begin to grow. Prepare yourself. Confession. And then you need to move from confession to forgiveness. Forgiving yourself and forgiving people. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. I have to first receive the forgiveness of God to me. And then I can forgive me. And then I can forgive you all. You need to know that Jesus told us in Matthew 6:15 that unless you forgive others, then I will not forgive you. In other words, once you receive the forgiveness of God, your preparation is good, then you'll be able to forgive others. One of the greatest major doorways in all of our lives is this unforgiveness in our lives. Most of the demonization, strongholds, footholds are connected to this thing called lack of forgiveness. And it is running rampant in the church. And if you want preparation, you need to first and foremost get this forgiveness from God, forgive yourself, and forgive others so that we can be free. Mark my word, forgiveness is not tolerance. Forgiveness is not pretending. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not looking the other way, and forgiveness is not diplomacy. And it's not passive non-responsiveness. No, forgiveness is a deliberate act of the will. It's a full pardon. It's a substitutional act. It's an obedience to God's will. And it's an act of love which gives us keys to the freedom that God has given us. This is what we need. Preparation is confession, forgiveness, and it is worship. Number three, preparation is worship. We're in this room today. What are we doing? Worshiping him. Online, worshiping him. We worship him together. We worship him by worshiping him in scripture. This week I've been in the Psalms, and I've been worshiping him by declarations of who God is. We worship who he is, and we are the ones that are changed. I worship him with my life, right? Scripture declares. And then lastly, preparation is that I submit to him. It's humility. 1 Peter tells us that we must submit ourselves unto the Lord. I love the fact as you battle, Jude 6 says this, the archangel Michael looked at Lucifer, looked at Satan and said, the Lord rebuke you. In his humility, even the archangel Michael did not approach Satan foot to foot and hand to hand. He knew it was the Lord that gave him the victory. It wasn't even the archangel Michael. If we stand our ground in preparation, we need to have humility to know it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit declares the Lord. Can somebody say amen? I have a brother that I watched carry people in deliverance, freedom ministries. And in that season, he kind of got so engaged with the ministry of helping people being delivered that he was kind of going through the motions and not fully engaging at levels he needed in his walk with God. And as a result, I watched the enemy almost take him out for about 6 months. And this last point about submission and humility is critical. I'm not asking you to go look for a demon under every rock, but I am asking you to have spiritual eyes to see the tactics and expose them and call them out and say, enough is enough. The Lord Jesus, who Pastor Michael talked about, rebuke you. Not me, but him. Does this make sense to anybody? And once we are in preparation, you need to understand the key point is that our prayer closet is the launching pad for us to see victory. So preparation is the first thing. The disciples were not ready when they faced their first challenge. The second thing is, once we're prepared, the second principle is boldness. Somebody say bold. Say it again, bold. Somebody make this prayer. Say, make me bold, Lord. Now, what do I mean by bold? Is once we're ready and we know who we belong to, then we can stand in his strength and his courage and actually go places that we otherwise simply will not go. And you and I need to know that it's going to count. We got to be willing to count the cost to go where we simply do not want to go, because the battle is real. Now, let me picture a biblical worldview for you as it relates to our conflict. There is a passage in Mark 5 of a man, madman, who was demonized. And he was a madman from Gerasene. And as Jesus and the disciples in Mark 5 get out of the boat, this madman starts running towards them, and he has a reputation. He has supernatural strength. He speaks. The demons speak through him. You read the passage in Mark 5. He has splitting personality. He runs towards Jesus. He runs away from Jesus. He's all over the place. He howls at the moon. He breaks chains. He cuts himself. He is basically really messed up. He knows who Jesus is, verse 7 of Mark 5. He has the ability to leave that individual and go to the pigs or the swine nearby. This is the battle that we find and experience today, that we won't actually walk towards, we stay away from it, and as a result, people are living in bondage and under footholds and strongholds today. Jesus completely took care of the situation, and he modeled it. And what did he say? First, what is your name? And they were declared, we are legion, for we are many. And then the second thing he said is, he said to them, I demand you to leave him, and he demanded where they would go, which was in the pigs. Now you need to know the disciples are watching all this, and they watch the boldness of Jesus. And something, I would imagine that when they first saw the guy coming, there was not a whole lot of boldness there. They were like, hey Jesus, let's go back into the boat. We already know what this guy can do. We can go minister somewhere else, not as intense, not as overwhelming. But Jesus models to them what boldness is, because he's already won. Now let's call it for what it is. Here's a little education for you. A lot of times in Scripture we'll use the word possession, but that's not the proper Greek translation. Because possession many times show and give the impression of ownership. But demonized is a better translation, which means they have various areas of our life where they have control, footholds, or strongholds in our lives. Even as believers. Because we have given them that authority in our lives, either through sin, either through fear, either through an experience we've gone through. We haven't gotten the healing in our life, and we see this, and we walk away, and we're no longer bold. We continue to live our lives horribly. I'm saying to you today, this is our battle. We need to be prepared, and we need to be bold. And people who have changed the world were people that were bold in prayer. John Wesley, who this denomination was founded after, and his movement, the Methodist movement, prayed every morning at 4 a.m. And if you read his story, he changed not only a country through the power of the Holy Spirit, he had many lives that came to know Christ through his life that impacted the world. Martin Luther, he changed the world and wrote the 95th thesis and declared that it is by faith that we are saved, right? He prayed 2 hours every day in boldness, knowing that the spiritual battle was before him. You've heard me use the illustration, John Hyde, missionary to India, who prayed, Lord, give me souls or give me death, saw India changed as a result of his boldness. The Korean church today, with all their obstacles, and North Korea as a challenge before them, they have what's called Prayer Mountain. And they are seeing the world change, because 24/7, they are boldly claiming and declaring God's victory in ways that otherwise would never happen. And Jesus is calling us to that kind of boldness. And the verse 21 that isn't in my translation, he says, by the way, it's not just praying boldly, but in certain situations you're also going to have to fast. That's a whole nother sermon. But I would challenge you to fast at least one meal a week. And when we begin to fast, we fast because it changes us and it aligns us with God's heart. It gives us the boldness that we need. It gives us the discernment to be able to see with spirit eyes. It helps to strip all the other things around the distractions. It gives us the humility and the faith and the vision. We need this kind of boldness, my friends. You don't have to be perfect. You just got to be somebody that understands who you belong to and begin to practice that which he's given to every single one of us. Let me illustrate a bold prayer that happened in our lives. Matter of fact, two of my kids are here today. When we lived in Central Asia, I had such an encounter my wife and I did with our son. We were in a very dark area where the demonic was really, really in control. There were hardly any believers in the entire country, as you know. And we were awakened one night in the middle of the night, and our son was probably 3 or 4 years old, and he was screaming uncontrollably, and his sister lived in had the same bedroom. Of course, we were awakened in that moment. We went over, my wife grabbed my son, and as he was shaking and he was crying, and we were trying to figure out what was going on, and he pointed up into the corner of his bedroom, and he says, do you see it? And he was describing a face of a goat with horns and evilness all over it. Now, you need to understand, at 3 or 4, however old he was, he had never been exposed to horror movies, hadn't read anything that would even give him an ability to have an imagination towards any of that. Does this make any sense? So in that moment, as Melanie held him, the boldness inside of me was like berserko. There was no fear whatsoever. I just stood in front of my son's bed, and I went like this, and I started declaring the blood of Jesus and said, you have no right, you have no authority, you have no privilege and honor to be here. This is our son. He is bought by the blood of Jesus. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Enough is enough. And whatever else I said in that moment, I can't remember. But do you know, in that moment, in that bold prayer, there was no fear. There was no hesitation. I knew what my powers was, my divine powers was. And in that moment, immediately, he went into a calmness and fell asleep in his mother's arm, just like that. And the peace of God was there. And even though you may not have ever experienced something that dramatic, I'm here to tell you it's happening all over the place in deceptive ways all around us. And it's time for us to rise up and know who you belong to and understand that it's time for us to use the weapons, prepare ourselves, and declare it in Jesus' name and being able to see this. Now, we know that because the Spirit of God lives in us. Let me give you the third point today, and that is this. Not only in being prepared, not only being bold, the third one is engagement. Can somebody say engage? Can somebody repeat the prayer? Say, Lord, help me engage. Now, we know what I'm talking about here is that in order for me to maintain boldness, in order for me to be able to be prepared, I got to stay engaged. Now, therein lies the problem of the Christian experience. We're back and forth in our commitment, not meaning you walk away from God, but we become very apathetic and complacent, and we got to stay consistent and engaging first and foremost with whom? God himself. Psalm 91, he is the shelter in which I dwell. He is my shelter in which I dwell. I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, and once I engage him, then it enables me to pray ways that I otherwise cannot pray. So what kind of engagement prayer of warfare should I pray? The first is, I pray the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. We sang it here, right? It's in the Lord's Prayer, that the kingdom would come. Somebody say, bring your kingdom. Say it again, bring your kingdom. In other words, what I'm saying is it's time for us to be specific. We're seeing hell all around us, literally. Anybody tired? Anybody saying enough is enough? Anybody saying, let's repeat Jesus' prayer. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Bring forth your kingdom. He tells us to do that. Here's the beautiful thing about this kind of prayer is that we don't have to doubt whether this is God's will. It's 100% his will. I'm not asking for a Cadillac. I'm not asking for a job. I'm not asking for wisdom to wear. I'm asking for God's kingdom, which he told us to pray. I'm aligning directly with God. So how long has it been since we've been engaging this way that we have prayed, oh God, bring your kingdom now? This should get somebody excited in this room. Bring your kingdom now and bring it here. And he said to us, how does that specific look like? In Matthew 16, Jesus and Peter are having a dialogue. He says, hey, Peter, who do they say that I am? Some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets long ago, but Peter said, you're the Son of God. You are the Son of God. I know who you are. And Jesus says, you get it, Peter. And what you need to understand is I've given you authority. Here's the part we don't get as we pray the kingdom. You can bind things here on earth, and you can loose things here on earth. This is Jesus' words. This isn't some charismatic teaching. This isn't some far out teaching. This is the words of Jesus. How long has it been since you prayed these kind of prayers? What do you mean, loose and bind? You can loose all of those, bind all those things that are coming against you. Bind the things of temptation. I bind lust in Jesus' name. May your kingdom come. I bind hatred in Jesus' name. Your kingdom come. I bind fear in Jesus' name. In kingdom come. I bind all the authorities of hell that's coming against me in Jesus' name. And then I loose the Spirit of God. May your power come in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, and with our students. I loose the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in Scripture, my friends. This is warfare prayer. This is what engagement means. And you're saying, why are you so intense? Because I'm watching people walk around getting their butts kicked. And enough is enough. It's time for the church to rise up and understand the battles is the Lord's. And he's saying to us, it's time to engage. Pray the kingdom come. May your glory be done. May we see you as in earth as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen? Let's begin praying this for our kids. Let's begin praying this for our marriages. Let's begin praying for our churches. Let's begin praying for our pastors. Do you know there are more pastors discouraged today than there ever been in the history of our country? I don't care how old a pastor is. They're like, oh, you're so experienced. Never done this before. We can pray God's loosing of his Spirit upon him, encourage upon him, that the kingdom of God and the reality of the kingdom could be upon them. What is the church going to look like post-COVID? Well, I do know this, is that God is the same yesterday as he is today, as he will be forever. He's not changed by our situation. He may be stripping us of stuff. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. This is what engagement prayer is all about. And then we pray the word. You say, Pastor, I don't know the word. Well, bring it out. You're going to see it next week. You pray. You don't think we have a battle? Why do you think there's an entire chapter, Ephesians 6, which is next week, about the armor of God? Why do you think that's there? It's because we don't have any attack. Because we don't have any possibility of strongholds. It's time to pray the word back. And even if you don't know the word, keep the word open and pray it. Knowing that this is going to make all the difference in the world, and our eyes will be filled. And then we pray the kingdom come. We pray the word, but we also understand we pray in Jesus' name, which we talked about last week, right? We pray in Jesus' name. Here's what I want to do. I want you to help me. At home, I'm going to ask you to do this. Are you guys all able to be a little bit undignified? Come on now. Let's pretend we're in student ministries. Anybody there? I mean, you got masks on, so nobody's going to see you anyway. So that's good. You can actually have fun. So I want everybody to stand up with me. Go ahead and stand. If you're at home, I'd encourage you to stand. Now, when I pray in Jesus' name, here's what I want you to understand. I pray in Jesus' name for this victory. I'm reminded of Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. I'm asking people in the sanctuary, I'm asking you in your homes, which you can be really undignified because nobody can see and your kids will think you're awesome. I'm going to ask you in a moment to do some stomping with me. I'm going to ask you in a moment to be a little bit undignified. I'm reminded of King David when the Ark of the Covenant came in. And the ark represented the presence of God. And he started dancing and celebrating. He got all excited. His clothes were falling off and his wife despised him. And he's like, I'll become even more undignified because God is here. So I'm here to declare to you that the God of peace will soon crush Satan. How many of you are sick and tired of the tactics of the enemy? And it's time to rise up and declare the victory of Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan. You ready? Underneath your what? Oh, that was really weak, but you didn't know it was coming. Let's try it again. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Didn't it feel good just to give him a smack to the face? Come on, church. Just smack to the face. Now, you may think that is just a student ministry thing. That is a, I'm practicing physically, spiritually, what you must begin to understand. One more time, Romans 16, 20, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. Give yourself a hand, church. You can have a seat. You need to understand today that we understand that this God of peace is going to enable us as we engage to have the victory in ways that we've never seen it before. He tells us in Matthew 18 that if you and I make this declaration together, that's what we just did, we can ask anything in Jesus' name and it'll be granted. We just agreed together, didn't we? We practiced another scriptural truth. We've agreed together in Jesus' name that Satan has no right and no authority in my life. Enough is enough. Break down the strongholds in Jesus' name. Denounce it. Cast it away from you. Just like I did the demon that came into my son's room, you need to declare that for your life, for your family's life. Maybe not once, but some of those situations are so strong, you may have to pray and fast to see the victory and keep on keeping on, because we have the declaration of Romans 16, 20, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet and his feet. That is some good news today. Can I get an amen, church? And what we know in closing is this. The reason why we know this is scripture declares, number one, as we make this declaration. We make this declaration because John 12 and John 16 says, and the prince of this world stands condemned. The prince of this world will be cast away. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 3. The same individual will be cast into the abyss. We know Romans 16, 20 is declared because John 12, John 16, Revelation 20 declares he is defeated. Can I get an amen, church? Secondly, we know that Romans 16, 20 is a reality because deliverance isn't just for the select few. It isn't for just the super spiritual. It's for all who believe in Jesus Christ. He has declared in Colossians 3 that every single one of us have been bought with the price and have the capacity to be free here today. Can I get an amen? We know that we have the ability to stomp him because even though Satan has a defense, we know we have a greater defense. Jesus told us on the Lord's Prayer, Lord, deliver us from what? Evil. He tells us to ask him to deliver us. He says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Make the declaration that we have a defense greater than the enemies. And we understand that as we make this attack on our life, that the demons can influence anybody. Every single one of us. You don't believe me? Going back to scripture. I got so excited, I think I'm losing my voice. Go back to scripture. Jesus doesn't want to go to the cross. Peter says, Jesus, don't go to the cross. People don't follow dead men. And what does he realize? It is directly from the pit of hell. And he says, he didn't talk to Peter. He said strictly to the demonic. He says, Satan, get behind me. Realize that he is throwing fiery arrows at us every single day. We do what? We raise the shield of faith to distinguish every single one of them today. Demons can influence everybody. We says in the last days, I think it's Timothy 4, many will follow false teachings by spirits. We understand that today. And in the last days, they will do a frontal attack. That's where we're talking about the armor of God next week. It's time, friends, that we begin to engage God and we begin to engage people and engage the battle, and knowing as we engage that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. And this is not just to motivate you. This is biblical stuff that I'm telling you. Prepare for battle, folks. Be bold because you know who you belong to, and keep on engaging and you'll see the victory. You will. The lies tell you you will not. It's a lie. I can't be victorious. It's a lie. My kids will never be saved. It's a lie. I will never be healed. It's a lie. I will always struggle with sin. It's a lie. I can never be freed from loneliness. It's a lie. Does this make sense to anybody today? We know that we know when we make this warfare prayer, it's time to rise up, church, and stop being passive. And those who are passive are the ones that are going to be left behind and struggle and in challenges. But those of us that begin to actually utilize what it means that if God is for us, who can be against us? And that we are using the divine powers and weapons that God has granted us. When we do this, do not do the following. Do not tell God that he must do it this way or that way. Don't give God a timeline and how he must do it. Do not confuse your personal agenda with God's agenda. And don't try to profit from God's stuff. We need to understand engaging daily. The key point is the exercise that it will bring forth victory if we keep engaging. Would you repeat after me and say, we are children of the King. Does anybody, by a raise of hand, believe that they are truly a child of the King? Who believes that they are a child of the King today? Anybody? Yeah, I'm a child of the King. That's a game changer. That is a game changer. And when you are a child of the King, that means you have direct access to the King. And the King has all power and all authority. Direct access to the King. You have protection from the King, the all-powerful, omnipotent God. You have protection from the King. You have provision for the King. I can't make it one more day. Yes, you can. You can't, but he can. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And lastly, I have an inheritance from the King. I know, regardless of what you're experiencing, many of you experienced death up close even recently, but we have a hope of not of this world, that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, that it will come in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash, in a moment, where the dead in Christ will rise first, and the rest of us will remain, will be caught up with the Lord in the sky, and then we will see a new kingdom. And in that moment, we will know that we know that we know that it's all been worth it. And I want to just say this to you in conclusion. I don't know what this week holds, but I will tell you I know one who does. And I will say to you, at the end of the day, I want to be able to stand before him, and I want to echo scripture. Well, I want to say this. I have run the race. I have fought the fight. And I want him to clearly say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Can anybody say amen to this today? So as I conclude, I'd like us to pray, whether you're watching online or whether you are here live. Warfare prayer, the heat is on. It's time for us to engage, be bold, and prepare ourselves for battle. We are going to have a Sunday school class in a few weeks. I don't know what it'll look like, but we are going to have a class on a whole follow-up on what the battle looks like. We're only touching the surface in our five sermons here. But you may need to continue to grow in this area so that you can be a victorious believer. So keep your eyes open to our app and our website as we continue to unfold that. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would be in our moment and help us that we could build our faith little by little. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here today that you'd be willing, either at home or in the sanctuary, you would be willing just to stand where you're at and say, Pastor, pray for me. This was an aha moment for me. And it's time for me to truly be God's woman and God's man. I am tired and I really want to stomp on Satan's head and see victory in my life. And you would stand and say, I want to go public, that I'm willing to change some things and begin to practice some of these principles. Maybe there's nobody, but in there, if you'd be willing to stand, would you do that right now? I'll give you a moment. Is there anybody? Stand right now. Yep. I'll give you a moment. Anybody else? And in online, in your homes. Lord God, I pray for those that are standing. I pray that you'd give them exactly what they need. And we would see the power of warfare prayer and the victory granted us today. And that you have already given us the victory and it's time for us to access it. And I pray you would bless each and every individual that is standing and you truly grant them all that they need in this moment. We trust you, Holy Spirit, because you are the perfecter of our faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said,